Do we really even know what we're praying for when we pray the prayer, bless me indeed? Do we even know what we're asking for when we ask for God's blessing? God has the ultimate long view in mind. We generally think of us now. God thinks of all of us for eternity.
Thanks for joining us again for the LifePoint Podcast. Today we begin a brand new series that will take a look into the prayer of Jabez called Blessed. With the message living in it, here is Pastor Kelly Rhodes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to LifePoint this morning. If you're new, my name is Kelly, and I get to be the preacher here, and it's been such a joy of my life. It's just been wonderful. I want to tell you that we're starting a brand new series today. Last week, we ended a series that I loved, and it was such a powerful week. I kind of hated to see it go, but we are in a brand new series today called Blessed, and it's going to be something I think is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge your faith life. It's going to challenge your prayer life, and it's just something I believe that we need in this particular season that we're in as a church and as a Christian community. Back in the early 2000s, you may remember that there was a little book going around in Christian circles. It was just a little one, about this big. It was 93 pages, but I think if you would put it like in a normal size book with normal size print, it'd probably only be like 50 or something like that. It's real small, real quick, real easy read. It was called The Prayer of Jabez. Anybody remember The Prayer of Jabez coming out about 15 years ago? It was so popular. It sold over 15 million copies. In fact, Christian Publishers Weekly said that it was the most popular Christian book, fastest-selling Christian book, rather, outside the Bible in the last century, the last 100 years. So that was just such an amazing thing that happened. And pretty soon, like we often see with popular items in a Christian bookstore, the Prayer of Jabez came out, but it wasn't just the Prayer of Jabez. It was now the Prayer of Jabez for men and the Prayer of Jabez for women, because it's obviously a different prayer depending on your gender, right? There was the Prayer of Jabez for kids, the Prayer of Jabez for teens, the Prayer of Jabez for athletes. I'm sure somewhere the Prayer of Jabez for fishermen came around, because we know that fishing is God's chosen sport, right? So Prayer of Jabez was just everywhere. If it could be slapped with the Prayer of Jabez on it, they did. There was Prayer of Jabez paintings, Prayer of Jabez tapestries. They had a Prayer of Jabez prayer shawl that you would use to cover your head while you prayed the Prayer of Jabez. It was just kind of crazy how quickly that just took off and how many different things came out that were associated or tagged with the Prayer of Jabez. And what tends to happen so much of the time whenever we saturate ourselves with something is pretty soon we forget about it. Pretty soon it's lost its appeal. Pretty soon it's lost its power. And so this little book that's based on this little prayer became something that I think a lot of people just kind of put on the back shelf and they look for something new. But for these next few weeks, we're going to kind of look at it new and fresh all over again. It's full of some pretty big nuggets of truth in a pretty small little package. It's really only two sentences long. So it's not very substantial as far as the number of words used, but it helps point us to a life that God blesses. And so for the next few weeks, in fact, the next month, I'm going to challenge us to look at this prayer, to study it, and to pray it together. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can find the Prayer of Jabez in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you open them up and you're in Genesis, it's a little bit to your right. If you go all the way to Habakkuk, you went too far, go back to your left. So we're going to look at this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 contains the only real account in Scripture of this man named Jabez. He's not mentioned anywhere else, but what the Bible does say is pretty astonishing. This is what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers." I think we could all kind of relate to this. If you have brothers and sisters, this could be like the root of sibling rivalry. We want to be more honorable. Anybody else experience that at all in their life at some point in time? It says this, "His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful." which is pretty telling, particularly of a culture who names their children as a way to kind of identify them, as a way to kind of forecast a future for them. Oftentimes, they would name a kid something in order to put and impress upon them a way or a direction they should go for their lives. And so his name was Jabez because he brought so much pain. That would be like naming one of our children today, ouch, right? And so that's what he was named. But because of his upbringing, he was more blessed than his brothers and sisters. He was honored more than his brothers and sisters. Because of the difficult things he had to overcome because of his naming. I mean, sometimes we're brought into this world and there's certain things and thoughts and paradigms that we just have to overcome. And if we didn't have those obstacles, maybe we wouldn't have been so motivated to rise above them. Jabez was. And Jabez had the audacity to pray this prayer, it says, to the God of Israel. And if you'll stand with me, this will be our memory verse for today as we try to hide God's word in our hearts. So please just repeat after me. Oh, that you have blessed me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do. And keep me from all trouble and pain. And the best part, and God granted him his request. 1 Chronicles 4:10. You bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, God, will you please give us the faith to pray honest prayers? God, looking to live in the center of your blessing. God, will you help us to open our hearts and our minds? God, help us to open our eyes to see how you're working and moving and guiding us in this life. And God, may every day that we live be a day lived unto you. We love you, Jesus. So let me pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I already know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Kelly, that is one short little prayer. How are you going to base an entire series on this? How are you going to stretch this out for a month? How do you do that? Well, here's the good news about this. I believe that what Timothy said, or what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 is true. It says this, that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And because I believe that God especially and specifically anointed the authors of this text to write his will for us down, to show us what God wants us to see, that to live the lives that God wants us to live, because I believe that there's no mistakes as far as the content of what he put in there. And so when we read in Scripture this short little prayer, these two short little verses about this man named Jabez, I believe it wasn't an accident. I believe that God put that there for us to see because there's something that he wants us to learn. And so I want to jump into it, guys. Because if God wants to guide us into a life that he blesses, I want to know about that. How about you? So we are going to look at these four lines for the next 4 weeks. Oh, that you would bless me. Expand my territory, be with me in all that I do, and keep me from trouble and pain. Today, we're going to crack the first one. Oh, that you would bless me. In fact, some translations would go so far as to say, oh, that you would bless me indeed. That you would pour out blessing upon me, God. This was an audacious prayer prayed by this man named Jabez. Now, I want to start this off right and just clear the air, because when you start talking about the blessing of God, people tend to have very strong reactions for different reasons. Some of us struggle about talking about the blessing of God because of the experiences that we've had. We have experiences where prayer hasn't been answered. We have the experience where we have lived a life that seemed like anything but a blessing. And so when we talk about the blessing of God, we don't know how to really handle that or how to hold that. And so the blessing of God is kind of a confusing and sometimes even a painful thing, a painful topic for us as we get into that. So I just want to acknowledge that. Some of us struggle because we feel like it's wrong to ask for a blessing of God, like it's not proper or right somehow. Maybe you feel like you've been blessed so much that you don't need any more blessing. And good for you. Congratulations. You win. All right, good for you. And some of us are just plain turned off by the pie in the sky, inauthentic TV preacher feel that comes with so much teaching on the subject, on the topic of blessing. And I want you to know that I get that. I'm in the same boat that you're in. But that isn't what I'm going to be talking about. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what the Bible has to say about the blessing of God. What it is, who it's for, and how you and I can live in it. So I'm going to ask you to take some time over the next 4 weeks to study this prayer, not only in our services on this morning. You can go back and listen to them if you want to. We recommend that, encourage that. But also, make sure you jump into a life group. If you're not plugged into a life group yet, you need to get plugged into one. And tonight, we're going to have some information out there to help you find a life group if you want one. And if you don't want one, we're going to send our life group people to find you and hunt you down. Okay? Because you need to be in a life group. You need to be with some people to talk about scriptures just to help it live and breathe in your life. Tonight's United Night. We're all going to get together. It's going to be awesome and fun. You don't want to miss it, but you need to be in a life group. And so we want to help you get where you need to be spiritually, and you're not going to get there alone. You're going to get there together. Amen? Amen. And so we want you to do that. We want you to study this prayer. We want you to pray. We want you to pray this prayer of blessing for your family, for yourself individually, for your church, for our community. We want you to jump in and ask these big blessings of God. But before we get to that, I have to ask a question that, to be honest with you, I kind of struggled to find the answer for this question myself for a time. But here's the question. When we pray the line in the prayer, "Bless me indeed," do we even know what we're praying for? Do we even know what we're praying for? I encourage you to ask big questions. That's why God's not afraid of big questions. In particular, if you struggle, if you have doubt, ask questions. Because when you're asking questions, if you're truly seeking the truth, if you're truly seeking the answer, God's going to bless that. And not only going to find your answer, not only going to find the truth, you're going to find Jesus. So ask your questions. Here's a big question. Do we really even know what we're praying for when we pray the prayer, "Bless me indeed"? Now, one of the things I would also say is say it like this. Do we even know what we're asking for when we ask for God's blessing? See, the word blessing itself, when we think about it, it means to secure God's favor and protection. Of course, we want God's blessing. We want to have it indeed. In fact, God is a God that provides anything that we would even consider a blessing. We've looked at this verse many, many times here. It's James 1:17. It says this, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is the source of every good and perfect gift. God is the source of every real, actual, and authentic blessing in your life. If you have had a blessing of any type, it was a gift from God. He is the source. But we have to understand in the same breath that God has a different view than we do. God has the ultimate long view in mind. We generally think of us now. God thinks of all of us for eternity. So you might find yourself in a situation where you are serving God. You are seeking Him with all your heart. You love God. You're committed. You are dedicated. There's nothing for God that you wouldn't do. And yet, even though these things are true about you, you find yourself living in something other than blessing. In fact, it don't feel like blessing at all. You love God. You're seeking Him. You're searching Him. But it kind of feels like sometimes like He's miles away, or that life just continues to be hard. And if that's you, I want to challenge that this morning, because I want you to see this. Being blessed does not mean that life will be without trial, difficulty, persecution, or pain. In fact, Jesus Himself tells us the opposite. He is talking to His disciples in the days leading up to the cross. He's trying to prepare them for what life will be like after this huge transition, His crucifixion and death. And then He's going to leave. And He knows this. He's told the disciples what's going on, that one day He's going to rise and He's going to go and they're going to be left. He's trying to prepare them for this Huge change. And so as a part of that, he lets them know the way life is going to be. He says, I've told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. How many of you would say that through your experience that this verse is spot on? You've experienced many trials and many sorrows. Like, yep, Jesus, you nailed it there. Because that's what it's been like for me. Life has been hard. I've been discouraged. My heart's been broken. And for me, it seems like that has just been pretty spot on. Well, good news. That's exactly what Jesus told us to expect. But that's not all that he said. He follows that up. He says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. What a beautiful thing for Jesus to tell us, trouble's coming, you can expect it, but don't be discouraged. Don't give up hope. I've overcome the world. You know what's interesting about this, and I really started questioning the timing of this, because I typically will write my sermons on a Tuesday, and so I'm writing stuff down, have my notes, my outline in place, working hard through it, and feel pretty good about what I'm going to bring to you guys on Sunday. And so we're preparing all that, all the slides, everything. We work on that stuff through the week. And then Thursday happened. Thursday, when another shooter walks into a university, he's got weapons, he's got ammo, and he begins a massacre. This massacre has a different flavor, though, because he specifically and pointedly sought Christians. According to published reports, what this shooter did was he would walk up to people and he would ask them about their faith. And if they said that they were Christian, he would say, well, good for you then, because you're about to meet God. And shoot them right in the head. If they were not believers, he would shoot them in the legs. I mean, he was very, very sick. We understand that. But this is the reality of what took place. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, God, I'm getting ready to preach a whole series called Blessed. Living a life of blessing. And then I read this. I see the videos. I watch the news reports. But the more I read of the stories, I was astounded by the great act of courage that it took for one person to stand up and answer, yes, I am a Christian. And then I thought to myself, after that execution took place, how much that act of bravery was multiplied and magnified when the next person stood and said, yes, I am. Bang. The next person stood and said, yes, I am. Bang. And I was so humbled. I was so humbled. I was moved. I was perplexed. Do I have that kind of faith? Am I willing to take that kind of a stand? It puts things into perspective, does it not? It makes sharing faith in Jesus not so intimidating anymore, does it not? It makes telling people about how good God is not so scary anymore. I'm humbled to think of the courage and bravery that these Christian brothers and sisters had. It's inspired me to live a better and bolder life. Their lives were taken in a cruel and vicious fashion. And some would say, well, where was God in that? Where was the blessing in that? But I would say, God was there providing them the strength to stand and proclaim his name. The blessing that they're experiencing right now is so much farther beyond than anything they could ever dream or conceive. That's where God was. That's where the blessing is. I would say that God's greater plan is is beyond our comprehension. Paul wrote a little bit about the nature of persecution as he wrote to the church in Corinth. Now you have to understand that that early church just lived under persecution. In the book of Acts, you can see that the church spread and it grew because of persecution. You can see that where the blood of martyrs was spilled, pretty soon a church grew. Then as it grew, it scattered. And so the gospel proliferated across the known world because of persecution. And so Paul knew about it. Paul knew about attempts on his life. In fact, you can read an account in Acts where he was dragged out of the city and he was stoned. Not the way you're thinking, all right? They took big rocks and smashed him with them, right? That's what he was doing. But yet Paul got back up and he marched right back into the city. And he started preaching again. I mean, there's the reality of his life was that he was persecuted day in and day out. And so he writes about this to the church in Corinth. He says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." See, Paul was saying, we've gone through this persecution. We've gone through this suffering. We have faced it. And it's for your glory. It's for your benefit. We have gone through this. It's for God's glory. See, being blessed in life doesn't mean that we're going to be without trouble, without pain, without sorrow, or even persecution. In fact, Scripture tells us there is even a blessing that comes to us through those things that we cannot have without it. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes, "If you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. For the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name." See, suffering for God's a blessing, not a curse. Enduring trials for God is a blessing, not a sentence. This flies in the face of what so many people believe about living a blessed life. See, it isn't that we won't have tough times. It isn't that we won't struggle. It isn't that we won't face despair. In fact, Jesus says the complete opposite of that. We may even face death in the name of Jesus. Being blessed means we'll never face those times alone, and those times will be used for good. Now, it's hard sometimes to understand how that happens, but we're going to unpack that for just a second, too. Because we need to understand how our suffering, how our sorrow can be turned into blessing. I just want you to know it's just something that God does. He takes the difficult things and he changes them around to be good. He changes the things that feel bad and he changes them around and somehow they're good. And James says it like this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." That's counterintuitive. He says, here's the reason. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." is living in God's blessing, living in his protection and favor. Yes, it is. Of course it is. But it is also more than that. It's more than the absence of pain. It's more than the absence of suffering. Enduring difficulty and pain in our lives is a blessing because these are the tools God uses to build character, to shape us more and more into the people that God has called us to be, more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's not easy. It's hard stuff, but it produces the best fruit in your life. See, if you've been through something, you know this. See, you never know, you know that you're never more close to God than when you're in your pit of despair. You felt the peace that passes understanding and you can't explain it. You've been in that situation where you were in your lowest moment and yet the presence of God was so real to you then. The things that God said to you were so powerful then. Maybe you don't even know how to express it or how to explain it, but you just knew that there was a God who was so real. It is a situation that you would have never experienced without your trouble, without your trial, without your difficulty. And see, if you've been through that, you understand it. And that's why when Paul writes words like this, you believe him. When he says that we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, we believe the words that God has brought to us. No, I do not believe that God causes the calamities of our life in order to grow us. God did not direct the shooter in Oregon. But God does a mighty work when he takes our pain, when he takes the wrong and broken things of our life, and he redeems them for his good and for our benefit. Which leads us to another point about this blessing. See, God's blessing isn't just for you. God's blessing isn't just for you. You remember the story of Joseph, this young man who was a brother. And he would have these visions. He would share them with his family, and they made his brothers very jealous. They made his brothers very mad, and so they decided to kill him. Don't judge. You probably wanted to kill your little brother at some point in your life too. But in the end, they didn't kill him. They decided to sell him into slavery because that's better. Joseph then goes and he's in this house and he rises up and he's pursued by the master's wife and he rejects her and she flips out and accuses him of some things that he didn't do. He gets thrown in prison. It's all bad. I mean, horrible things happen in Joseph's life. It's this roller coaster. And he seems like everything is working against him most of the time, but finally he's noticed. He's able to prophesy and interpret some dreams, and he's elevated to the number two position in all of Egypt. And he sees himself then one day, and his brothers are before him. And he has the ability to bring them through and save the whole family, save the whole people from a horrible drought. And he recognizes this, and he says this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." See, God will bring you through your burden so you can bring blessing to others. The blessing isn't meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be shared. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? See, the greatest good and biggest blessing in our life is to live a life that brings honor to the Lord, however he decides for that to happen. And when we receive the blessing for God, we're meant to share it, whatever it is. It's not meant to be kept for ourselves. It's not meant to be protected like some goblin's treasure. It's a blessing that's meant to be passed on and shared with others. God doesn't serve us. We serve him. And even in our moments of deepest weakness, even when things are tough, even when things are so bad we don't think we can take it anymore, in those moments, God calls us to call on him. God speaks to us. He guides us. He comes to us and comforts us. He brings us through those tough times for his glory and your greater good. Show me faith that is untested, and I'll show you faith that is weak. Show me faith that has yet to endure trial. I will show you faith that is uninspiring to others. But show me faith that has seen the fire and has braved the storm, and I will show you faith that pleases the Lord. And that is what living in God's blessing is all about. And so, now that I have terrified you about living in God's blessing, let's talk about how to do it, all right? How do we live in God's blessing? How do we do that, if you want to, after all that? Here we go. First, you have to have some faith in who the Bible says God is and what the Bible says that God wants to do. We have some messed up ideas about God. That God wants to see us struggle continually. We have this picture in mind that God is sitting in heaven with this cosmic fly swapper, and just as soon as you mess up, wham, he's going to get you. You thought that. Some of you guys didn't think it was a fly swapper. You thought it was a bolt of lightning. Zap! That's what you thought God wants to do. That's what you thought of this, is that God is the angry, grumpy old grandpa that you didn't want to go around. That's what you thought God was about. But that's not God. That's not who he is. That is a fake, a false caricature of who God is. See, God wants to bless us. Jesus said it like this in John 10:10, another verse we use here a lot. That the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. What we need to go, what God wants for us is this, that God's desire for our lives is that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Now, does that mean that he wants Rolls Royces, Rolex watches, and rolling in the dough for everyone? No. Because even though so many of us dream of that kind of lifestyles of the rich and famous life, the fact of the matter is, for most of us, it would be more of a curse than a blessing. Because most of us would not know how to live with it. Now, this isn't true for all wealthy people. There are some wealthy people who are extremely generous and extremely obedient to God with what he has blessed them with. But for many wealthy people, they're blowing it with this test of finances. They're living it up, but they're not living it out. See, we're blessed to be a blessing, which means that God uses us to bring blessing to others. So of course God wants us to be blessed, but he also wants that blessing to flow from us to impact and affect the lives of those that he's put around us. See, one of the saddest reasons that I can state to know that we don't know how to live with the blessing of finances is world hunger. See, here's what I know. I know that according to the research and the data, that we produce enough food globally to end world hunger. But because we're afraid of hurting markets and profits, we will sink, dump, and throw away surplus that could go to feed starving children. We just dump it in the ocean because we're afraid we're going to lose a profit. Now, here, you should understand something about me. I'm probably more conservative than you are. I believe in free markets and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not afraid to say sin is sin. And we as a nation sanction throwing away food in order to bolster economy while we have people starving to death that God has commanded us to love. What do you call that if it's not sin? See, we're blessed to be a blessing. It's not something we should hoard. It's not something we should keep away from other people. It's something that we should have God to pour into our life so we could pour it on other people to lead them back to Jesus. That's the point of the blessing. See, Jesus said it like this. You should remember the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. See, it's supposed to flow through us. See, if we want to live in God's blessing, we have to have faith that God wants to bless us. We might find ourselves thinking otherwise, but the truth is he wants to bless us. And he wants us to bless others. God even wants us to ask for that blessing. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. See, this is a promise. We will receive his mercy. We will find grace when we need it the most. God wants to bless us. You have to have faith in the Lord that he wants to bless us. But that faith isn't just that God wants to bless us. The faith is also something that's to drive us to live a life that God can bless. This is key. This is a huge portion of this. See, God's not just a God who wants to bless us. He's also a God of justice. Justice isn't always about being punitive. Justice is also about blessing. God tells us that he blesses obedience. If you have your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Now, just understand this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's just getting started talking about the blessings of obeying God. And so what you need to do right now is write that down in your hand, take a note, put it in your phone. Write it down, read Deuteronomy 28. No, do it right now. Write it down. Mike, write it down. Got it? All right, blame it on your wife. She'll have a pen. It starts off telling us this is how you live in God's blessing. If you obey me, if you obey me, you're going to live in this blessing. See, here's something we have to understand. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's the wages of sin is death in every avenue of your life. You sin relationally, you're going to experience death relationally. You sin financially, you're going to experience death financially. You sin spiritually, you will experience death spiritually. You sin physically, you will experience death physically. The wages of sin is death. But when we avoid sin, when God doesn't have to spend all his time rescuing us from us, a shift takes place and new opportunities are created. Obedience to God opens the door to his blessing. This is what it says in Psalm 84. For the Lord our God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will hold no good thing from those who do what is right. Amen. You see, God doesn't want to sanction our sin. He wants to redeem us from it and call us out of it. You know, for some of us, we live these lives that we come to church and we confess and we pray so we can feel better in the moment and then go right back to it. And we have this endless cycle that we just don't get out of, and it prevents the blessing of God from being poured out on our lives. That's not God's plan for you. That's not what God wants for you. He loves you enough to save you and walk with you, but he wants to call you out of that and into something greater. God wants us to live lives that he can bless. And when he does, we need to thank him for it. We need to give credit where credit is due. So we need to acknowledge the Lord as the source of blessing in our lives. Not in a way that puffs us up or makes us pompous, but an honest and humble way that shines light on the source of that blessing. And the best way to do this is by proclaiming it with our mouths. This is what it says in Psalm 96. It says, sing to the Lord, praise his name, each day proclaim the good news that he saves. What a powerful thing to proclaim. We proclaim that with our mouths. And then in something that is absolutely prophetic, I mean, David is writing this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, and he's speaking about social media. He says this. He says, publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. That's specifically about updating your status. Amen. Publish his glorious deeds. See, this isn't about prosperity theology. This isn't about name it and claim it faith. This is about being a people of faith, declaring the truth about the God who gives and wants to give blessing. Because here is the truth about us. Even today, no matter what you're facing, we are living in the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Don't say you're thankful. This is something I want you to do. Don't say you're thankful. You're going to start doing that next month anyway. But let some light shine on the source of that blessing. Let's put it out there. Tell people that you're blessed. When someone asks you how you're doing, don't say, I'm good or I'm fine. Those are your automatic responses. Take some time and just stop what you're doing and say this, I'm blessed. And they will look at you like you're crazy. Don't say, I'm not crazy, I'm blessed. Blessed. And I want you to update your Facebook status. Hashtag blessed. Find the things that you're blessed over. Be creative. Say things like this, I'm blessed with my spouse. I'm blessed with my kids. I'm blessed with my church. I'm blessed to live in this community. I'm blessed to serve a God who loves to bless his children. See, I've given you five already. You have a head start on everybody else, right? I'm blessed. We're going to give glory to God because he's the source of our blessing. We're blessed. We're blessed. You don't have to be super creative, but you do need to look and search for all the ways that God blesses you, and you need to thank him for it. You need to tell the world about it. Not, I have a great wife. I do have a great wife. But what happens whenever we elevate our wives above the Lord? I mean, having a great wife is wonderful. What if you said, I am blessed to have a great wife? Now she's not just a great wife, she's also a gift from God. And see, when we elevate God, he elevates her. And guess what that does for me? Whoop. It elevates me at the same time. I'm convinced that the greatest weakness in our spiritual walk today is that we do not acknowledge the blessings that God so routinely places in our lives. You're facing some painful things, some real disappointment. And it's hard for you to see how God is blessing. Hold up. Wait a minute. Let me put some Jesus in it. You woke up this morning. You didn't have to. There's plenty of people who didn't. Today's a gift from God. Amen. You are here, which means you're not in a nursing home or an ICU. Something tells me you're healthy enough to be here. That's a gift from God. Are you blessed or what? You see, we have so many blessings that we take for granted. It's time to stop and not just smell the roses. It's time to stop and praise our God from whom all blessings flow. Amen? Because we are blessed. Yes, we are blessed. We are living in God's blessing. It's time to recognize it and tell the world about it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us today. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see your blessing. God, that we could live according to your blessing. God, that we could show the whole world how good you are. God, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. God, that we would acknowledge you as the source of every good and perfect gift that you've given us. So God, may your name be praised. And God, as a result, may hearts turn to you. God, I praise you because you're going to create avenues to witness through all the conversations we will have this month as we are praising you, as we are proclaiming our blessedness. And so God, through that, may you build your kingdom. May your glory be expanded through the earth. And God, may it be done through our voices. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Grace and peace. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for joining us for the LifePoint podcast. For more information or to donate, you can find us on the web at lifepointlebanon.com. To keep up to date with everything that goes on at LifePoint, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LifePointLebanon or on Twitter. Our username is @LifePoint_LEB. Thanks again for joining us and have a great week.